in this week's Complaint Corner, Doctor Who, Super Mario, and some other shit. This is Critically Complained. Hi, I'm Adam, and this is Steve, and first we're going to talk about Doctor Who. And for once, it's good news, so happy day. So the original revival showrunner, Russell T. Davies, that's the guy who ran the show for the first four seasons from like Christopher Eccleston to David Tennant, is officially going to be returning as the Doctor Who showrunner with the 60th anniversary of the show, which is not next year, but the year after, so 2023. And I could not possibly be more excited about this news. I think this is the best thing that the BBC could have done to, like, really get me invested in Doctor Who again. Are you excited for this?
They could have brought Top Gear back. They could have brought Top Gear back. I would have been more excited about that.
I don't give a shit about Top Gear. That's just me. I know. And like, it's not that I think Top Gear is bad. I just find it kind of boring. I'm not a car guy. I don't like cars very much. They bore me.
It's really not about that.
I know that. Like, I get it. But, like, it's just...
It's about dropping pianos on cars or driving across Vietnam in a car you bought for $1,000 dong.
$1,000.
Like, $1,000,000.
A million, wait, like, dong is in, like, wait.
Their money.
Like, okay.
The Vietnam money.
Oh, okay. I was definitely not
They gave them, like, a shoebox full of cash, and they're, like, all excited to buy real cars, and they found out that money is worthless, so they can't buy real cars with it.
Okay, that actually is really funny. Like, don't get me wrong, I appreciate Top Gear, and I've definitely seen some good episodes. It's just never been one of my things.
Yeah, but now it's got Joey from Friends on it, and some other guys, so...
Yeah, I remember all of that happening a few years ago when, like, I can't even remember his name, but, like, the main host, like, got fired because he was being an asshole. Jeremy Clarkson, that's his name.
Yes.
Yeah.
He wasn't being an asshole, he was hungry. They shouldn't have brought him some fucking cold cuts.
Uh-huh, sure, okay. Anyway, we're not talking about Doctor
Who. A man needs a steak.
We're not talking about Top Gear, Steve. We're talking about Doctor Who. And so, Steve, I don't really firmly remember, like, what are your opinions on, like, Christopher Eccleston and David Tennant as the Doctors, or, like, that time of the show?
Yes. Well, I forgot who that first guy was until you... I assume that means he was the Doctor before
David Tennant, the ninth Doctor, yeah.
The one with the shaved head. My opinion of him was a little skewed, because the first episode I ever saw of Doctor Who was a Matt Smith episode.
Same
so
here.
I went back to watch the show and I was like, who the fuck is this guy? So I thought I was watching the wrong show, but I did power through those eventually, and we got to David Tennant, who I also didn't know who that was, and I was like, man, this show sure does not get to the person I remember for a long time, for like 8 seasons.
Yep.
But you know, we got there eventually, so I don't really care about that first guy at all. He was just a placeholder that took forever to get to the one I actually remember, which was David Tennant, who I remember liking, I guess. But I don't know that bringing What's-His-Face back, who wrote those first ones, is really the issue, but I don't really care, so I'm happy to have him. Thank God he's back.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't think that Russell T. Davies was, like, a perfect writer by any means, but I have a lot of fond memories of that time of the show, and I was much more invested in what was happening.
Well, I feel like Doctor Who's problem is no longer going to be that guy... we'll write good stories versus this person writing bad stories, whoever this person's name is. It's that person has written bad stories and is basically assured that any follow-up story will be weird. Because now we've got, like, the Doctor's, like, a interdimensional space monster or something, and where all the Time Lords come from.
We can just
and
ignore that.
More than... It's no, we
fine.
Can't ignore that.
We absolutely
that
can.
You
that's
can't
how
just pretend
that's how,
that didn't happen.
That's how it works in Doctor Who. Okay, you have to accept this. Like Doctor Who, anything can be hand waved away because that's the whole point of Doctor Who. Anything is possible. I know you don't like it.
Can
I'm
you,
not asking you
can
to
you
like
give
it.
Give me an example of that happening because I'm pretty sure they don't do that.
Oh my god! Let's see. I think that they mentioned in one of the very early episodes of the show, like before the revival, that the Doctor can regenerate like 25 times, but then that was later retconned to be only 12 times. One of the villains of Doctor Who is actually a future version of the Doctor. Her name is, I think, Thorani, if I remember correctly. And she was an evil doctor who wanted to, like, go back in time and kill herself, because that somehow makes sense. But
yep, that checks out.
But, of course, that never happened, and we, like, it's... Well, I can't even remember all the details.
Happened. I mean, she's, I mean, I guess 30 lives from now. She could have gone back and killed the 29th one.
I'm trying to remember some of the other ones. Okay, oh, but the, the Cybermen have multiple different origins.
But the point is that this like, the Doctor is not the Doctor. The Doctor is something else now. Thing is really hard to ignore.
I mean, okay.
Especially since there was already that one black lady who also was the Doctor from a different time. We can't pretend like that didn't happen.
It totally did happen. Okay. I still firmly believe that you absolutely can pretend that didn't happen. It's not that hard. But the Chris Chibnall...
What are we doing here?
Chris Chibnall, the current showrunner, the one who's not so great, he still has a full season to kind of wrap up his story. So, like, I can't fully judge how they're going to, like, move from one to the next, because he still has a full season to wrap it all up and have it all make sense and put a bow on it and then let a new guy come in. So, like, I'm not super worried about that, personally.
I guess it does feel like every incarnation of the Doctor is an entirely different person with entirely different problems, so...
That's entirely correct.
I suppose we could just pretend this whole mess didn't happen, and many people probably will.
Yeah, all you gotta do is just watch the when Peter Capaldi died or whatever. If you wanted to just ignore it, you can just, right up until Peter Capaldi died, he turned into the girl, and, or the woman, and then whatever, you know, just skip through the rest of it if you don't care for it, which is totally fine. Watch the episode where she regenerates into whoever the hell it's going to be next, and then there you go. It's fine. Just be like, oh, and then she went on adventures. That's all you need to know.
I don't understand what we're doing here, then. I guess I'm just used to competent writing where canonity matters, and you need to, you know, do stuff with the things you write down.
Right. No, I get it. I totally get it. But it's with a show like Doctor Who that has been around since 1963, it's really hard to, like, actually have... like canon that, like, makes sense. It's really hard to, like, build on, you know, 50 years.
I just don't feel like it is.
Okay.
Especially since it's been around since 1963, but we have, what, like, 15 episodes from prior to the Ninth Doctor. Like, how hard is it to just start from there? That's only, like, you know, 4 iterations of a character to worry about. It doesn't seem impossible. And you can keep adding bullshit to it. I know that that's what shows have to do. You have to keep adding bullshit to it to make it keep going. That's why Big Bang Theory is 16 seasons. Oh, but, God. Like, it just feels like all they had to do was try a little harder to make things not bad, and maybe we'd be okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of
or
those
care,
things.
Just a little bit. Freaking I don't know.
Well, I mean, the whole point, what you're saying is, like, that you don't really like the current direction of the show. And I think that BBC and a lot of fans agree with you that...
vindication.
Yeah, no, I mean, even I agree with you. I'm not a huge fan of the current direction of the show. I don't hate it as much as other people do, but it's not very good, and it is very confusing, and it doesn't really make sense, and there's a lot of unanswered questions.
Clear, because this is probably going to be a thing that comes up, it's not because it's a woman.
No, it's not. That's the worst thing
Let's
about...
Let's get over that, please.
That's the worst thing about the show being bad now, is that, like... that I have this association with the show was bad when there was a woman doctor. It has nothing to do with her being a woman.
But
like,
it really easy to remember.
I actually really like her specifically. I just don't like what's happening. Like, the actual plot just is weird and confusing and boring. I just don't fucking care. And the companions are weak. The only one that I gave a shit about was the old guy, and he's gone now. Like,
it's true.
It's dumb. Like, Doctor Who got dumb. I am going to rewatch the whole Jodie Whittaker era before the new season, because I'm a crazy person who does things that. So maybe my opinion will soften with time, but it's not very good. And that's why I'm so excited for them to be bringing back the showrunner that when the show was fucking good, you know? Like, I love David Tennant. David Tennant is probably my favorite Doctor. Probably. It's between Capaldi and David Tennant. Those two are my two favorites, and it's really hard for me to pick one. But there's so many wonderful stories from the Russell T. Davies era of the show, and I'm just so excited for this. I'm hoping that they bring back some old characters. Like, I would love it if Martha showed up. I think that'd be really fun to do, have her be, like, in charge of UNIT or something, if they wanted to. I think it'd be really... You could bring Rose back, but I feel like Rose has been brought back too many times at this point, so, like, I'm good with them not doing anything with Rose.
Yeah, okay, so real talk, what the fuck is the obsession with Rose? I do not understand.
Yeah, I think it's really just that a lot of people really liked the romance between her and David
Tennant. Is it shipping? Is that all it is?
It's just shipping. I really think that's what it boils down to. And also, she was the first companion of the new era, you know? And, like, people get all bent out of shape about the first. Like,
I guess she was, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was.
Huh.
Yeah,
I guess I forgot that.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm very good with Rose just being done. I like Rose a lot. I will always love Rose, and I think Billie Piper is gorgeous, and I love her. But I'm good with Rose as it is. Like, she was brought back maybe like one or two too many times, and I'm good. Thank you. But I would love
Didn't
it if
they
brought...
like drop her off in a different dimension or something.
Yes,
at the end of her
they
arc.
Dropped her off in a different dimension, and then she was brought back, and then they gave her a human clone of the Doctor who will age just like she does. So
oh my
grow
god, that
together.
Did happen, didn't it? Holy shit.
And then they brought her back again for the 50th anniversary, but it wasn't actually her. It was just it was just like a
I forgot all
weird
about that.
Psychic
that
interpretation.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
so that's the golden age.
It got
that's
pretty
what we're going
dumb.
Back to?
It got pretty dumb, and that's what Doctor Who does. Like, Doctor Who is full of stupid concepts, and that's okay, in my opinion.
I like the Weeping Angels.
Me too. Like, that's the thing that's so cool about Doctor Who, is since you can do anything, and canon and previous stories don't really matter, they only matter if you want them to, like, there's all kinds of crazy, amazing concepts, and then there's stupid concepts, like scribble monsters. Like, for every...
Oh, you didn't like the 2D graffiti monsters?
Yeah, the 2D graffiti monsters. Or the monsters that are made out of the sand,
the sand people,
the sand people that were actually just eye gunk, like those, like, because that's the fun part of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
You can do anything. The most ridiculous thing that was dreamed up by some 5-year old. Like, you can just do that, because it's fine.
I mean, because that's what I want to happen. I want every episode to be that.
Me too. I like it when the show is dumb, it's entertaining. And usually. That's really what I think is the main issue with the current showrunner and the current era of the show.
You ready to hear some earth-shattering news, Adam? You ready to hear my fucking contentious opinion right now?
I'm so ready, yes.
I don't like the Daleks.
Oh! Damn, dude, really? I do quite like the Daleks.
I don't get it. Like, I get it. I get what they're supposed to be. They're, you know, like Terminators, but trash cans. I get it.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. They're funnier than they are, like, entertaining.
Classic.
It's like, ha, that's stupid.
They're classics.
And I know
Steve.
It's just because they're, like, from an earlier time when props for a movie was, or for a TV show was basically just an overturned trash can on wheels.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it's yeah, like, I can roll with that.
We're going to put a plunger and, like, a bent coat hanger onto an
upside-down
trash can.
It's like the best of, like, shitty old-time black and white sci-fi. It's like old episodes of The Twilight Zone. It's awesome.
Exactly.
But it's like, man, these are not scary or that cool. I don't like the Cybermen either, but I think I'd prefer the Cybermen over the Daleks if I had to pick one.
Okay, first of all, it's Cybermen. I think Cybermen are from Dragon Ball.
Oh, Cybermen is the thing from Dragon Ball. Yeah, excuse me.
Yeah. I like the Daleks. I mostly like the Daleks, if I'm being honest, because of the voices of the Daleks, like, exterminate! Like, I just love
that
shit.
Right, yeah. Their fucking speak and spell voice.
Yeah, exactly. It's just funny. It makes me laugh, like, all the time. I remember I had a friend in high school who, it was, like, like a recurring joke for us, like an inside joke that we would say exterminogen to each other, because in one of the episodes there was like the Daleks are speaking German, and so they said exterminate in German, which is exterminogen. Oh my god.
When did this happen?
It was
like a World War II flashback episode or something?
No. It was the very end of Russell T. Davies' time on the show. It was like when...
Oh, my God.
It was when all of the planets got, like, you know, taken away, and, like, Earth and a bunch of other planets were all in, like, the middle of nowhere, and the Daleks were attacking, and they were going to obliterate the universe using all of the planets as, like, a weird ray gun, I think, something like that.
Sure, yeah.
That was when it was one of David Tennant's last stories. It was the season finale.
So this is the golden age of writing, right?
This is the golden age of writing. This is the stupid end part of the golden age of writing, but yes, it also featured all of the companions coming together for like the first time in the show's history. It had Martha.
You've got a lot of team up.
It had Rose, Martha, Donna, Sarah Jane Smith, and I'm trying to remember some of the other ones. Oh yeah, that woman who is the prime minister. Do you remember who I'm talking about? I can't think of her name right now.
Sure.
There was this one woman who was the prime minister who always used to say her name and her title. God, I can't think of her name. It's been a long time since I've watched this shit. It had Rory, or not Rory, Mickey. It had Mickey. He was back.
My nose is bleeding.
Oh God, I'm sorry.
Must have been all that bullshit you was saying.
I'm,
well, that's
I'm,
no good. All right, continue.
Anyway, yeah. But what the fuck was I saying? The Daleks were attacking the planet, and they were attacking all of the planet at the same time. And there was a brief clip of Daleks attacking different points throughout the world, and they were saying exterminate in several different languages.
Okay, why did the Daleks need to say exterminate in different languages? Why do they speak English to begin with? And why do they care if the people they're shooting can understand them?
Oh, that's because it's Doctor Who, and because it doesn't matter. The real answer is that I think that the Daleks have technology that allows them to translate their speech into whatever speech other people, you know, can understand. So, like they're
the Doctor
just
does
saying,
with his fucking timey-wimey bullshit.
Exactly, yeah. Which is really just a complicated way of saying, don't worry about the fucking languages, you goddamn nerds.
We all speak Galactic Basic here, yes, I know.
Yeah, it's fine. Just don't fucking think about it too hard.
Okay,
because it's
good.
Too complicated. And it's fiction. Anyway.
Science fiction.
It's science fiction. Just remind yourself that it's just a show, and you should really just relax. It's fine. Just to quote some Mystery Science Theater in this episode. But anyway, I'm very, very excited for Russell T. Davies to return. I'm fully expecting the show to get like very campy and silly. And I would rather have it be campy and silly than dull and boring and dreary. I don't
want
that.
Well, that's true.
And that's what the show is now.
I'll give you that one for sure. Bring me more fucking cornflake monsters, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I'd rather have crazy weird shit like that like just don't make any sense. And then I can just shrug it off and say, well, at least it was dumb and I can make fun of it. I'd rather have that than like, oh, we're going to go and visit Rosa Parks this episode. Aren't we so progressive? Like, it's like,
I mean,
all right,
I feel like if I had a time machine, that's kind of the shit that I would do. But
actually, the Rosa Parks episode was surprisingly one of the best episodes of the current era of the show. I'm trying to think of like a really... See, that's the issue with the show, is it's so non-memorable now. Like, I can't even remember anything that happened in the last season other than the one black female doctor showing up who was like a future incarnation.
Oh,
that's
my God,
all I can remember.
Yeah, totally. I agree. I feel like that show happened like 10 years ago, but I know it was like
years ago. Like,
yeah, but I can't remember a thing.
Yeah,
oh, no, I tell
like,
a lie. I can't remember one. They were on like a spa planet or something.
That was
and there
one
was like
them.
A gremlin that was eating the ship, and they escaped into the desert. And there was like zombies or something out there. I don't really remember what exactly it was they were doing out there.
And then,
but they are getting attacked by something.
There was an episode where, I remember the season finale where there was like a Cyberman who was like half human still, like you could still see his human face.
Yes, yes.
Remember
yes,
that
yes,
guy?
Yes, yes, yes.
That's like they sneak onto
the Cyberman ship and do Cyberman things.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They made the Doctor or the Time Lords into Cybermen, and the Doctor exploded it. Or the Doctor didn't explode. Somebody exploded it.
I think the Doctor exploded it. I think that that's what happened. See, this is exactly the issue. The show is completely.
I feel like that should
memorable.
Have been important, and I should remember, but I don't.
I just can't. It just doesn't matter to me anymore, and that's
also,
why
the
I'm
Master
excited.
Was there. I remember that.
Yes, the Master was there, and he was played. Fun fact: the new Master is played by the bad guy from Iron Fist. Remember the guy who gets the red fist in Iron Fist? The Davos was his name?
No.
No, you don't remember
no,
that?
I
that's
don't.
That's fine. In Iron Fist Season 2, Davos, it's like Iron Fist's old friend from Kunlun.
Oh, kind of.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
He steals
yeah,
the
yeah,
fist
yeah.
From Danny. Yeah, that guy is also the
Master.
Oh,
yes, so. I do remember that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So yeah, I don't know why I remember that, but I do. So here we are.
And then Danny gets guns, and then the whole show's over.
Yes, that's exactly correct. I'm actually I'm currently rewatching the Netflix shows. I'm
nerd.
I'm a quarter of the way through the first season of Jessica Jones, and I already finished the first season of Daredevil again. So I'm doing it slowly this time. I'm pacing myself because I got no rush. You know, I don't got to watch the whole fucking season in 2 days like I used to have to do for this fucking podcast.
So, fair.
So yeah. Anyway, so very excited for this new old Doctor Who showrunner.
New old Doctor Who. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Our next piece of news is hilarious.
Christ.
Our next piece of news is the Super Mario Brothers animated movie. I mean, if you've been on the internet for the past week, you've probably heard about this by now, but we're going to talk about it anyway. So, we got the official voice cast for the animated Super Mario Brothers movie. The biggest thing, of course, is Chris Pratt is going to play Mario. I cannot
it's
say...
It's me, the Power Star-Lord.
I cannot say that I ever expected to read that news. I never thought Chris Pratt would be cast as Mario. So this is I don't even know what to feel about this. Like on the one hand, it's like
I can tell you what to feel about this.
All right, what do you feel about this, Steve? I just think it's weird.
I am so fucking excited.
Yeah, but for all the wrong reasons, right? Like, you're just
probably,
think it's gonna be
yeah,
a train wreck?
But like, the Sonic movie was supposed to be stupid, but like, that turned out to be pretty all right.
That's
so I
true.
Have high hopes for a Mario movie. I don't care that it's Chris Pratt doing the voice, even though that doesn't make a fucking lick of sense.
No, it doesn't.
Bowser
make...
with Jack Black being Bowser?
Yes.
Bring it on. Absolutely. Don't care. That weird guy from Always Sunny in Philadelphia is Luigi? That makes no sense.
Yes.
Let's do it. Absolutely. I don't remember who's playing Peach.
Oh,
fucking
Anya
somebody's
Taylor
Toad. Joy. Who's Toad?
Toad is Keegan-Michael Key, the guy from
yes,
Key and Peele.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep, bring it on, 100%. Fucking, uh-huh. What's his face?
Seth Rogen.
Raspy voice, pot-smoking guy?
Seth Rogen,
Seth Rogen, yep, that guy, he's Donkey Kong. Why is Donkey Kong there? Why does he talk? Who's to say? All gonna be a big, exciting mess, and I'm so thankful for that. So thank you, Nintendo, for doing that for me.
Yeah, I can't
I have
wait.
So little to look forward to these days. I'm glad that I have this.
I can't wait for the trailer. I'm so excited for the trailer.
For the first time they talk, I'm so excited. I hope he has to talk like Mario.
So, yeah, like, do you think that Chris Pratt's going to do, like, a really shitty Italian accent? And if he does, is that racist?
I don't know. Well, first of all, that's a big question because Mario is already not voiced by an Italian fellow. He's voiced by
that's a good point.
Some other guy. So who's
to
say what's racist
and what's
not? I
can tell you his name is Charles Martinet, and he's actually going to have several featured cameos in this movie, but he's
in
not going
Mario
to play
movie.
Mario.
Why didn't they just have him play Mario?
Yeah.
He's the voice of Mario already.
That's kind of how I feel about it. Like, I feel like they want to do, like a reboot, you know? They want this to be a new continuity.
But,
they
like,
wanna...
Chris Pratt's not going to be the voice going forward for Mario,
well,
I assume.
Well, no. God,
so, what does... I don't know. I mean, I guess Sonic's voice wasn't voiced by Sonic's voice, but whatever. I don't know. Maybe that guy can't do, like, whole conversation as Mario, which is fine, because that's going to turn into Mario teaches typing very quickly. But, like, oh, man. I am so jazzed for this nonsense because I can't wait for Mario to talk in complete sentences and fucking Bowser talking complete sentences. Like, Mario is one of those protagonists that doesn't talk, like, really at all. Because even most of his games when other people do talk, he still doesn't talk. He just makes thumbs ups and smiley faces and shit.
Yeah,
he goes Yahoo. Yeah. So it's like Link going Hyah. It's, they get one thing they get to say. And it's like, man, how the hell are you going to make a movie about this guy when he doesn't speak? And I guess it's not sacrilege for Mario to speak like it's sacrilege for Link to speak, but it's like...
That's true, because Mario does occasionally speak, at least.
He's
rarely.
Capable of it.
Yeah, exactly.
I've wasted my time on the internet and found a compilation of all the times Link has actually spoken in full sentences, in case you were wondering.
Just lay it on me. I want to know. Please tell
it's
me.
It's not a lot of times. It's mostly, like, in comics and or one time in... Oh my god, it was one game. I think it was the Oracle of Seasons. He speaks one time in a talk bubble while he's reading something off a wall. Because he refers to himself as I. It's the one time he speaks.
Interesting. Okay. All right. That's
I don't know.
Fascinating. I don't know why you looked that up, but okay.
It just showed up in my list of suggested things, and I was like, I'm bored enough to watch that. Let's go. Well, that's 15 minutes. I'll never get back.
I'm assuming that this doesn't count the animated Legend of Zelda.
No, it does not
count.
Excuse me, Princess. That does not count as talking Link.
Okay, just checking, because, like, I know that was a thing.
Well, if we're going by that, then Super Mario already speaks, because he's already got the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
That's true. That's, mm-hmm.
So we already had Mario talking. Also, there was a Japanese-only movie of Mario where he spoke as well, but that was in Japanese and in fan dubs, so that doesn't really count either.
And of course,
Luigi was blue and yellow.
I mean, and of course, there was the Super Mario Brothers movie where he was played
Brothers
by
movie with John Leguizamo.
And Bob Hoskins. Yep. Uh-huh.
Yep. So when I told my boss offhandedly that this was happening, he's like, oh, that's awesome. I want them to make another Mario Brothers movie. And I was like, really? And he's like, oh, yeah, I love John Leguizamo. And I was like, okay, no. Nope, this is not going to be that. This is going to be a cartoon. He's like, oh, why even bother then? Because he unironically likes that movie, because he has just the worst taste.
You can't unironically love the Super Mario Brothers movie. Like, it's impossible. You can only ironically love it. I thought this was, like, written in stone somewhere deep in the bowels of the internet. Like everyone collectively agreed you can only love Super Mario Brothers movie ironically. It is hilarious.
I don't know, but he was disappointed to hear that it was not about John Leguizamo as the Mario Brothers movie. And I was like, okay, well.
I straight up would absolutely love if they made a live-action Super Mario Brothers movie, and then they had cameo. I mean, Bob Hoskins is dead, but then they had cameos from John Leguizamo. I think that would be great if they did that. What if they had him play, like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of, like, Mario's dad? Do we ever know anything about Mario's dad? Is that a thing?
He was a pair of hands in the Yoshi's Island games.
Okay. Was it like white gloved hands, like a master hand?
No,
type
it
shit,
was just people hands, if I recall correctly.
Okay, that's weird as hell.
Because Baby Mario doesn't wear gloves, I don't think.
Interesting.
Wait, I don't know.
It seems weird to give a small baby gloves. Like, why? Like,
I mean, he only wears gloves because he's a craftsman and they're part of his uniform. It's the only reason he has gloves.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Or, but, like, he wouldn't be a craftsman as a baby.
He's a plumber. That's the whole deal, right?
Like, right. But he's a plumber in New York or something, because he's in the New York sewers. But he was in a fantasy world as a baby, so was
right.
He? Did he go to New York as an adult and then come back to the Mushroom Kingdom, or does Mushroom Kingdom have a New York? Or
I feel like he's just high. Like,
well,
that's
that is the understanding, is that none of this is real, and he's just, you know, those mushrooms will make you believe you see the Mushroom Kingdom, and perhaps that's what happened here. Perhaps Chris Pratt will be a live action Chris Pratt and then eat a bunch of mysterious mushrooms out of a baggie. And then the Mario movie will happen, and then he will wake up on a beanbag chair in a different place than he started, and that'll be the end of the movie.
And Seth Rogen will be next to him wearing a monkey costume and laughing in his distinctive Seth Rogen way, like, I can't do it very well, but that, is that, like, the whole thing? Because, like, I would watch that. Like, I would love it if this movie was just, like, a fucking, like, acid trip. Like, if he just took psychedelic mushrooms and Chris Pratt is like trying to get out of his delusions the entire time. Like, I
that is amazing. 0% chance that Nintendo's gonna let that happen.
No,
so.
Nintendo would never do that, but I think that would be fucking amazing.
I cannot wait for the Super Mario movie.
Oh my god, it looks so good. Also, okay, I know you don't watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but and I did not come up with this on my own, but I stole it from Reddit, but I fucking love that Charlie Day is playing Luigi, because he also his character in It's Always Sunny, he goes as Green Man, which is like those I don't know what they're called, like the body morph suits where it's just like the solid color or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, he does that, and that's like his mascot. I'm Green Man, and then he like will go to sports games and get drunk and be Green Man, and interact.
Yeah, this really is like the most miscast movie of all time.
It's hilarious. Okay, honestly,
I
the only
see
one
a single one of these people playing the character they are assigned to play. Not a single one.
I disagree.
Except
a little bit.
Maybe Jack Black playing Bowser if it's like Paper Mario Bowser.
So, okay, I can totally see Jack Black playing Bowser. And actually, I think Charlie Day would make a great Luigi.
I hope he scats. I really hope Bowser scats.
Charlie Day does a really good, like, high-pitched, nervous voice. Like, okay, maybe not so much with the high-pitched stuff, but if they, like, if he plays into his, like, anxious voice, I think he could play Luigi perfectly. Like, I really think that
yeah,
that
but there's a really fine line between, like, nebbish younger brother nervous energy and guy who's insane in the mailroom energy. So I'm hoping that they maybe get that better than I think they're gonna do it.
Yeah,
I don't know what that guy's like in real life. He might just be that way in real life. I have no idea, because you know Jack Black is just Jack Black in real life. Every part he plays is just him in real life. So
I like to think that Charlie Day is just as insane in real life, but I don't know that for certain.
Except maybe saving Silverman. He was a different character in that. But otherwise, he plays himself.
I think Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong is actually surprisingly okay. I'm not that upset by it. Because, like, I think of... he played, Pumbaa in the live-action Lion King, and I thought he had a great job there. Like, I could totally see him playing, like, a
oh, my God, now that's going to be my image of him the entire time. Thanks for that.
I think it works. Like, I can't even... Really, the only one that I have an issue with is Chris Pratt as Mario. That's, like, the issue, because it's just so bizarre, and why? Why would you pick...
Because he's famous.
I mean, I know that's
10 years ago, it would be Zach Galifianakis playing Mario.
Oh, God.
If it was 20 years ago, it had been whoever was famous 20 years ago.
And Anya Taylor-Joy is going to play Peach. I don't really care that much about that.
I don't
really care
that
much about Peach. Anya Taylor-Joy, did you watch the Queen's Gambit? Did you watch that? Trying to think of what else did you
that's that chess show, right?
It's the chess show. That's correct. It's pretty good. Yeah. It's a very good show, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm already the best at chess. Why would I watch somebody else play it worse than me?
Uh-huh, sure. I totally believe you, but
I can beat anybody at chess. It's really easy.
Yeah, okay, do you just throw it on the ground? Like,
I defeat them with my cunning. I don't fucking throw the board away. Defeat them with my skills.
Okay, all right. Fine. I'll accept that, because I've never played chess with you, but...
That's right.
Whatever. Anyway, Chris Pratt is just such a strange, bizarre casting, but, like, the rest of them, I think, are surprisingly fine. Like, I wasn't that upset by it once I actually sat down and thought about it. It was just so surprising. All of it is just, like, it just makes me laugh every time I look at the fucking cast list. It's just so fucking funny. Like, why? There's so many celebrities. Why would you do this, Nintendo? I can't...
Because they got Nintendo money, and they can do whatever the fuck they want.
I can't even understand. And also, it's fucking being made by Illumination. That's the guys who made Despicable Me.
Yeah, the Minion guys, I know.
The Minion guys, yeah. And it's like, ugh.
I'm hoping that doesn't play too much of a part. I'm hoping that Nintendo hovers over people's shoulders and tells them not to do that.
Yeah, I also very much hope for that.
Dude, fucking 100% the Koopas or Goombas, whichever one show up in the movie, is just going to be the Minions.
Oh God, you're totally right. That's exactly.
They're gonna speak in nonsense, and they're gonna bump into each other and fall down and like slap fight and stuff.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a.
And Jack Black's like, "Hey, yo, stop doing that!" I'm Bowser.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a Minion cameo in the movie. Like maybe a Minion.
Don't say things like that.
Pops out of a pipe, and he's like,
don't say things like that. Don't give them any ideas. Please. They're already going to show up in the fucking
credits,
like splash open title thing, because Illumination just uses those guys now.
Yeah,
but
that's
like,
true.
Please don't let them be in the movie. I want to be able to enjoy this for the mess that it's going to be. Don't make me have to think about how there was a Minion there.
See,
just let me have this.
I feel like the Minion being there will only enhance my enjoyment.
No,
like,
no. That will bring it
laugh.
Into real life stupid, where I have to compare it to other bad things. I want to be able to look at this in a vacuum and go, that's the Mario movie, and it's dumb because here's why it's the Mario movie. I don't want to have to think about like real reasons it sucks, like, oh, they put a Minion in there, or they had the Illumination people write this thing, or fucking Megamind shows up or something stupid like that. I don't want any of that shit.
That would be terrible.
Just let this thing be an isolated Mario movie that's got fucking Chris Pratt as Mario speaking complete sentences with no accent, and let that person from the Queen's Gambit apparently be Peach, and she can probably make a silly Queen's Gambit reference or something, and then Jack Black can scat as Bowser, and Seth Rogen can talk in his weird screechy like gravel voice
and laugh a lot
and be Donkey Kong. I'm really hoping they just give him the Vin Diesel treatment where he doesn't actually have to say any real words, but they give him like oodles of money to say I am Groot.
Sure, I would be down with that, too. That'd be great.
Never hire a famous person to not do words. I don't understand this. Just hire anybody. They'll take it. Anybody will do. You'll save so much money. And nobody went to see Guardians of the Galaxy because Vin Diesel was in it. It didn't happen.
No, but I have to say that I don't think the people would like Groot as much if he didn't have such a distinctive voice. I like
what are you
Groot.
Even talking about?
I
he
like
says
Groot.
Three words.
I
anybody
love Groot.
Could do it.
I mean, yeah, and obviously you could maybe anybody could do it, especially if you use like, you know, voice modulation, which I'm sure
you don't even
do
have to find somebody with a reasonably deep voice to do that. It wouldn't have been that difficult.
That's
like, I'm not saying that fucking Vin Diesel didn't do a stellar job at saying his one line, but like maybe you didn't have to pay as much money for that part. This was an expensive movie to make. You didn't need him. Just saying.
Whatever. All right.
Just like I assume Donkey Kong doesn't talk much, and you don't need to pay whatever Seth Rogen's prices are for like.
Maybe he does talk.
In, like,
maybe he gives a
gum
soliloquy.
Or something. I don't know, but
like maybe he talks like just a ton. I'm also I really hope that Donkey Kong's not in much of this movie. Honestly,
I agree.
I don't like, you know, because it's supposed to be a Mario movie, and like I know Mario knows Donkey Kong, but it just feels weird because
they play sports together and stuff, but I wouldn't really consider Donkey Kong a part of the like the regular Mario team up, you know? Like,
yeah.
If it's not a character that shows up in like a mainline Mario game, I don't think it should count. And fucking like Super Mario and Donkey Kong's touchscreen adventures or whatever that thing was, where you had little wind up toys like Lemmings. I don't think that counts as a real Mario game either.
Well,
so,
I think that the big
but Steve,
thing is,
he showed up in the first Mario game when he fucking
that's
hears
what I was
the bad guy
say.
And stole
yeah,
his...
He was in
yeah,
first
no,
Mario
no, fuck
game.
You, that doesn't count.
I mean, I guess technically that was Donkey Kong's dad, I think.
Yeah, that wasn't even him. He shows up in Donkey Kong 2, which no one's ever played Donkey Kong 2, so fuck you.
Yeah, I know. I just have a feeling that that's like why he's going to be in it. They're probably going to have him be like villain.
Then they've got some
like
awkward questions to answer because Mario had a whip in that game and he was definitely hitting Donkey Kong, so we should probably not address that and maybe just not have
definitely.
Him be part of that.
Don't turn Mario into Indiana Jones. Like, don't do that. I don't need it. Like, please stop.
Well, that's not what he was doing with that whip at all, but okay.
Oh.
He was definitely P.T. Barnuming that monkey, not fucking Jesus going on swashbuckling adventures, but whatever.
Okay, all right. We're going to move on to our next piece of news here, which is that we finally have a title for Fantastic Beasts 3. I mostly want to talk about this because I take profound joy in hating on the Fantastic Beasts franchise. So here we go. Fantastic Beasts 3 will be called Fantastic Beasts: The Secrets of Dumbledore.
Is that he's gay? Is that the secrets of Dumbledore?
Is it that he's gay? I really hope that they actually address that in the movie, just so it's not like this weird bullshit that that J.K. Rowling made up on Twitter. Like, it's like, if you're gonna make the character gay, make the character gay. Otherwise, it doesn't fucking count, as far as I'm concerned. You can't say he's gay and if he's never, like, if it's never addressed in the movie. Like, he's not actually gay.
Okay, well, pretending. First of all, big picture, I very much disagree.
Really? You really?
Yes, because if you have to show somebody's gay and say that they're gay, then it becomes a personality trait of them being gay, where you could just proclaim them to be gay and have that not change them as a person in any way, and it'd be fine.
No, it doesn't.
Which is
how
it should happen.
That's fair. But, like, this is a different situation. Like, after the movies were already made, after the books were already written, and Dumbledore's sexuality was never addressed in any way, then J.K. Rowling got on Twitter a few years ago and said, oh, yeah, Dumbledore's totally gay. I always had it written that Dumbledore
was
gay.
I know, I
was
there, I remember.
But she didn't actually write it. It was just something that she decided later and then wanted to get, bonus points. Because look at me, I have a gay character.
Well, then they can just have him not have any relationship continuing on because it doesn't matter. And then you can all just pretend he is or isn't gay.
It doesn't matter, but it's like, in my opinion, if you're going to say that somebody is gay, or you can't just claim something like that without, like, showing it in any capacity in the film, because in my opinion, you're just pretending. It's virtue signaling. You're just like, look at me, I'm so progressive, and it's like, but you're not doing it. Like, this isn't in the narrative. Like, you just are pretending that you're so progressive. It's not real. I don't know.
So what you're saying is you want them to retroactively add in confirmation that he's gay to make J.K. Rowling write?
I guess. I don't really. I just don't want this film to be made at all.
Oh, okay,
but
that's
here
fine.
That's truly what I want, because I want my memories of Harry Potter to stay in my past where they belong. And I don't want to have to be constantly reminded.
I don't give
reminded.
Two flying fucks whether Dumbledore's gay or not, so...
I don't really either. I just think that, like, I don't think that you get points for having a gay character if you don't have him be a gay character at all. Like, I just don't feel
Oh, okay, I get it. You're
shit.
Saying that you don't get the representation points if you never actually represent them?
Exactly. Yeah, if it's not a part of the narrative in any respect, then, like, no, it doesn't count. The character is practically asexual, you know? Like, it's like...
He was definitely beefing McGonagall, so...
Anyway, we also got synopsis of the film, which is... Professor Albus Dumbledore knows the powerful dark wizard Gellert Grindelwald is moving to seize control of the wizarding world. Unable to stop him alone, he entrusts magizoologist Newt Scamander to lead an intrepid team of wizards, witches, and one brave muggle baker on a dangerous mission, where they encounter old and new beasts and clash with Grindelwald's growing legion of followers. But with the stakes so high, how long can Dumbledore remain on the sidelines? So, first of all, that's a shit synopsis, because it tells us very little about what's actually happening in this movie, other than the main characters from the previous movie are also in this one. And I really, really hate that they took Newt Scamander, who's just supposed to be this, like, introverted dude who just wants to go and collect all kinds of crazy magical animals, into this, like, political figure who's leading a team of wizards to fight a wizard terrorist. Like, it just feels wrong to me. Like, it's like, why don't you just either do a story about the, like, political history of the Harry Potter universe, or do a story about a crazy professor traveling the world collecting magical creatures? You cannot do both at the same time, because they're not compatible with each other. It doesn't make
Au
any
contraire.
Fucking sense.
All you have to do is just do it.
I mean, I guess that's what they're doing. It just feels so strange to me. Like, what? Why is Newt Scamander any kind of expert, or why is he being trusted by Dumbledore to lead this team? He's
not. Because he's Harry Potter 2, that's why.
I mean, okay, at the very least with Harry Potter, it made sense. Like, he was competent, he was the chosen one, he had the scar.
Wait, did it make sense?
I mean, it did.
Because yeah, I want you to really think about it, because Harry Potter was not competent. He had a lot of help doing almost everything. Hermione was the actual competent one.
He was
brave, I guess, but that was, you know, mostly foolhardy, if anything. He had the scar, which has nothing to do with him. He was just lucky that his parents loved him enough to, like, you know, die. And
I mean, yeah,
he was not even the only chosen one, or even the confirmed chosen one. So, you know, the moral of the story there really should be anybody is special, but okay. Like,
what I'm saying with in regards to Harry Potter, what I'm saying about him as a character is it made sense, through each book/film, it made sense why he was the main character, like,
personally involved in the stakes of
yeah,
things.
It made sense why he was personally involved in the events of the film or book, whatever. Like, mm-hmm. he was invested in what was going on. Newt doesn't have that. He kind of had that in the first one, which is why the first one's better. But in the second movie, he was just kind of there. The only, like, personal stakes that he had in the story was his relationship with the one wizard lady, or whatever her name was. The American wizard, or no, I guess witch. The American witch, whatever the fuck her name was. The one who hated him because of a misprint in a newspaper that they didn't resolve until the end of the film, even though it would have taken literally, like, two sentences of communication between them to resolve that particular issue, but instead they
That's what's called an idiot plot.
Yes, it is an idiot plot. I mean, I have a lot of issues with, The Crimes of Grindelwald? Yeah, that's what it's called. I have a lot of issues with that movie, but, like, one of my bigger ones is just, I just don't understand why Newt is involved. He doesn't need to be in the movie. There's
Adam,
no reason.
Okay, you're thinking about this all wrong.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
So, number one, this is what's called in popular circles as a young adult series. And what that means is you take an unlikely, unworthy hero and assign them a role of importance way beyond their station or ability that they miraculously wander into and have the only power to accomplish. So even though our hero, if you would call him that, doesn't belong here and has nothing to do with the events taking place and shouldn't have authority over these situations, his name is not even in the title, but he's the title character. So he's just going to be there and everything's just going to work out because he is. That's called good writing.
The thing that frustrates me about this is I actually like Newt. I like him as a character. I like an introverted fucking animal lover who wants to travel the world and collect animals. I think that sounds like a lot of fun. I would love to read a story
about
that.
Yeah, but it's not about that.
But it's not about that.
It wasn't really about that in the first one so much. It was like a side story. Like,
well, okay.
Isn't it weird that the first movie having more time dedicated to the animal things feels like a side story to the evil wizard terrorist story that was like a grand total of like 15 minutes of that actual movie?
I mean, no, I do understand what you're saying, but that's why that's why I liked the first movie. I liked that the big political stuff was mostly in the background. Like, yes, it was happening and it was important, but that's not why Newt was there. Newt was there for the animals because he wanted to recollect the animals he lost.
He
and
wanted
stuff,
to
and then
drop
he got
his fucking griffin off into the wilds of Arizona. Or
yeah,
whatever
like that's why he was there. He was, and then all this political stuff happened, and he's like, shit, I guess I should probably deal with this because there's no one else around. It made sense, kind of, in the first movie, and it also made sense why he was getting involved with the guy. I can't remember what the guy who had the crazy magical powers or whatever. You know, the guy who plays the Flash. I can't think of what Ezra Miller.
Oh yes,
whatever
yes,
his
yes,
name
yes,
is.
Yes.
It made sense why Newt was involved with that. The third Dumbledore brother. Yeah, that fucking guy. It made sense why Newt was involved there, because he is an expert on magical creatures, and this guy is a magical creature, so
story. Nope, see, this is a situation where they have found a reason for their hero to be involved, because I'm pretty sure that dude being a homunculus or a hiccup or whatever the fuck that magical powder was called, that is when wizard puberty is rejected and you take your anti-puberty wizard pills or whatever. I'm pretty sure that that was just an excuse to make him related to our problem instead of making it make sense. Because Obscurus. It was an Obscurus.
obscure.
Pretty sure that that thing doesn't really count as a magical creature.
But it totally did, because he said that, like, this was, like, the first time
they wrote it
ever...
in the script, but I wouldn't have called it that, and you wouldn't have called it that if they hadn't told us that's what it was called.
Okay, was it perfectly written? Of course not. But at least it made some sense. At least it was like, all right, well, at least now I understand why Newt's involved in this fucking plot, kind of. It's a little contrived. I will admit it's contrived, but it makes some sense. In the second movie, it doesn't make any sense. He goes
to we agree on that,
France...
for sure.
He goes to France or whatever because Dumbledore asked him to, but it doesn't make any fucking sense why Dumbledore asked him to. So
that guy went to school under Dumbledore's watch or whatever, right? He's like a student there or something.
Yeah,
maybe Dumbledore takes a special interest in some of his students, which we know he plays favorites for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
So perhaps,
that's true.
Perhaps that Newt was a favorite or whatever, but like... Does that mean that Dumbledore's going to recruit him for his fucking, like, anti-terrorist league? Especially since he doesn't do any fighting or anything. He's just, like, a fucking animal whisperer. Feels a really weird thing to do.
It does. It just feels strange to me. And it feels weird to put him, like, blah, 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 yeah, he entrusts Newt Scamander to lead an intrepid team of wizards. Newt Scamander
is
just about
some jackass.
Yeah, Newt.
Like,
even
if my
was
fucking eighth grade teacher
team.
Came up to me, he's like, "Hey, I need you to lead a rebellion." Like,
yeah,
no, I don't think that I will do that. Actually,
yeah, it's.
But also, I thought you retired and might be our dead.
But like, Newt is a terrible leader. He can barely look people in the eye. Why would you give him a leadership position?
Because he's the protagonist. Because he's the protagonist.
It's dumb, Steve. I just
hate it. Yeah, because
it's
a poorly written, shitty movie. Written by bad writing.
Yes. No, I mean, that's true.
That's the size of it. That's the 1 in 0 period of this bad boy, is that it's just bad. It's badly written.
I know.
Contrived as fuck to
it's
make this
so
uninteresting gingerbread man into a like fucking war hero when he is not qualified for that. He's just a fucking introverted animal hunter guy who has a suitcase full of bullshit, and he just wants to be left alone and not talk to people because he doesn't know how to look people in the eye, and he doesn't know how to talk to women, and all his best friend is a praying mantis made of magic,
and a baker.
He shouldn't be here.
No, exactly. That's really the thing that I am annoyed about with this movie. And it's just... Oh, and I, like, kind of, sort of hope that they give some kind of explanation as to how Dumbledore has a secret brother that we've never heard of. But at the same time, I know
probably,
the explanation's going to be stupid.
It's,
and
okay,
really
you
know
it's
going to
be like a fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi explanation.
Oh, just like, you know, somehow the will of the Force, like from a certain point of view.
No. It's like, you said my dad got killed by Darth Vader. Well, what I told you was not a lie from a certain point of view. It's like, I didn't know you had a third brother. Well, he wasn't my brother at the time because he's evil. So not what I told you isn't necessarily a lie. I'm Dumbledore. Fuck you.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure that that's what it's going to be. And I just hate it. Like,
Also, how come Newt's, like, really good at combat spells and stuff? Like, is that a thing that everybody learns how to do?
I mean,
I know
guess
they had
must.
A little bit of that in Harry Potter, but, like...
Yeah, it's like, they just teach everybody defense against the dark arts. So they're just like, yep, everybody
gets basic
self-defense.
I guess everybody learns their basic self-defense magic or whatever, but, like, I have a feeling that the evil... like wizard terrorist would be exceptionally good at murder with magic, and the basic level of like defense against those things from what I assume was a guy who probably skipped class to go collect dandelions probably shouldn't be as good as he is at those things, especially since he definitely would not have continued to practice them in his adult life.
Really, I've always, my explanation for this has always been very simple, and that is that Harry Potter is not meant to be, like, a grand-scale cinematic universe. Like, the first, like, 4 Harry Potter books have almost no world-building at all, because that wasn't the point, and because J.K. Rowling was an inexperienced author and she didn't really know what she was doing, and it was more of a fairy tale than it was, like, a... like groundbreaking piece of fiction. Like,
okay, that's fine, but we're 12 movies from now, so I'm trying to figure out why these people are good at the things they do. Like, it would have made a lot more sense if Newt was bad at magic. He should be like That should have been his character trait. He should have been shit at magic, but was really good with animals. That should have been his thing. Like,
that actually would have been kind of fun.
You know?
In a weird way. Yeah, it would be nice
like,
to have...
I'm just thinking like fucking Rock Lee from Naruto. Like, he's really good at punching and kicking dudes, but he can't, you know, fucking shoot a fireball to save his life. Like, why couldn't we have just done that with this guy? And that would have made him distinct among the other wizard warriors that he is asked to lead. Like, his leadership skills could have been developed from his ability to control animals, and he could have approached the situation like that instead of like, hey, I also am really good at killing curses, but I'm not going to do that because I'm the good guy, but I can totally do it if I wanted to. You know, I'm an expert magical warrior. I just don't want to do those things because that would be bad. And that's the only difference between the good guys and the bad guys in the Harry Potter universe is which one of them will shoot the green laser beams and which ones won't.
That's literally it. Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's like Star Wars in a weird way. It's like, except instead of the bad guys being red, they're green, and it's like a sickly green, and the good guys are gold or whatever. That's it. Like, that's the whole fucking...
But, like, in Harry Potter, like, it would have made sense for Harry Potter to learn, or fucking Harry and friends to learn the, you know, the attacking spells and the defending spells continuously and actively, because, like, they get attacked every year. Every year something goes wrong. So they would have probably put a lot more emphasis into that. And, you
okay,
know,
well,
their teachers probably would have appreciated teaching them those things. But fucking Newt went during peacetime when he went to school. So he shouldn't
know
exactly how
to do
any of that stuff.
That's, I would say it's, if anything, it's technically the opposite. By the time of Harry Potter, like, the grand wizarding world believes that Voldemort is dead and that everything is hunky-dory and fine. If anything, they should be less well-trained.
Is there a Voldemort in the time of Newt and whatever?
Yeah, it's Grindelwald. He's, like, leading a fucking, you know, rebellion against the established government of the magical world. He's, like, a terrorist, and he's well-known across the wizarding world as being this crazy motherfucker who wants to destroy everything and wants to enslave muggles. Like, if this is like World War II for them, like, they're right in the middle of crazy fighting and shit, does make sense for him to be trained, but at the same
time,
it's,
but again,
it's kind
of didn't
dumb,
go to
but.
School during this guy's supposed attacks. He was graduated by the time this guy was adult doing adult things. So I maintain what I said, that Newt should not be versed
That's
in those
point.
Things unless everybody who goes to school learns everything there is to know about magic everywhere.
No, you're right.
And everybody is equally skilled at everything, which does not make for interesting world building.
No, you're completely correct about that. Like, he definitely, when Newt was in school as a kid, I don't think that Grindelwald was a thing at all, as far as I know.
They probably went to school, you know, a couple years apart.
10 years ago. Yeah, like, you know, because Newt's got to be in, like, his 30s, right?
Or I mean, I don't know how old Dumbledore and his gay lover Grindelwald are supposed to be, but...
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I don't really have much more to say about this movie other than I can't wait to see it and make fun of it. Like, that's it for me.
Who gives a shit? Seriously.
I'm gonna watch it. I'm totally gonna watch it, because I don't know, I have to. I feel like this weird obligation to go see it. I've seen fucking Crimes of Grindelwald twice. Exactly twice. I saw it once in the theaters, and I saw it once with my dad. And I honestly, I don't think I'm ever going to watch it again, because fuck that
cool.
movie. Like, it's so bad. Anyway, our last piece of news for the day is that Steve Ditko's estate... so his, like, kids, basically, are suing Marvel, and Disney for the copyrights, to Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, and some of the other Avengers. Spider-Man and Doctor Strange are the two big ones, though. And Marvel has hired the same lawyer that successfully defended DC's copyright claim to Superman, when the Superman's creator's estate, tried to sue DC. And ironically, it's not only is Marvel hiring the same lawyer, but Steve Ditko's estate has also hired the same lawyer who failed at suing DC. It's
bad planning is all that is.
Yeah. really, we're only talking about this. So there is a chance, it's very slim, But there is a chance that Disney/Marvel is going to lose the rights to Spider-Man and Doctor Strange. There's like it's a shot in hell. It is a snowball's chance in hell for this to actually succeed. But Steve Ditko's guys are gonna try. I think it's much more likely that Marvel is just going to throw money at them and make them go away. Just like, you know, hey, you want $5 million? Like, you want $5 billion? We can make that happen. You know, like, let us keep making movies and it'll be fine. I don't know what to feel about this other than I feel like Marvel is really shitty when it comes to respecting comic creators. That everything I've read says that Marvel is really fucking shitty at that. So, Steve, what are your thoughts on this?
Hell yeah, Steve Ditko's family, tear them down.
Tear them down? Oh. Do you really just want them to stop making movies, don't you? That's
yeah,
the only
I
thing
I feel
you
if
care
they
about.
Lose Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, which, by the way, clears up that multiverse bullshit very nicely, then they'll just stop doing this.
I suppose so that's accurate.
I think this is hilarious and awesome. I hope they fucking dismantle the machine piece by piece.
I fucking hate you because I want them to keep making these movies, but fine.
I know.
Yeah, what I mean, hey, it's whatever.
I will dismantle this Tower of Oppression board by board.
If by Tower of Oppression you just mean you want them to stop making movies with characters
yeah,
that
that's
you
right.
like.
That's the one.
Okay. Which still doesn't make sense to me, but I don't want to rehash that goddamn conversation again.
This is obviously just the Ditko Estate's children being like, yo, I bet we can get some mad cash for this. So
that's really
they're gonna
all
go
that
in
this
there,
feels like.
And they're going to be like, hey, we're suing you. And Marvel's going to be like, okay, here's a bunch of money. Go away. And they're like, yep, deal.
Yep. Okay. You got it. Yeah.
Like, I don't even think they have a plan for winning. I think they're just going to settle right away. Because what would be the point of even trying to win?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know. I think that the
only
chance...
And what are they
going
to do if they win, what are they going to do then? Like, okay, they have the rights to the characters now. What, are they going to start self-publishing? Like, no, of course not.
Yeah,
they'll
exactly.
sell them right back.
So the only thing that this might change is, theoretically, and again, there's a very low chance of this happening, but if this were to make it to court, and if the Steve Ditko estate were to actually win... then this could completely change the game in regards to compensating comic creators for their own fucking creations and stories. That's probably not going to happen. I mean, I know for a fact that Disney is going to do everything in their power to not let something like that happen.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But if Steve Ditko's kids decide that, like, they want to be idealistic and fight for the rights of comic creators everywhere, and they're unwilling to settle, and they insist on taking this to court, and if by some miracle that they win, which is very unlikely, because Marvel's just going to claim that creating Spider-Man and Doctor Strange was, like, a work-for-hire situation, and there's legal precedent for that, so... Like basically this, the judge or whatever would have to just completely throw Disney under the bus. Which I just don't think is going to happen. But if it did, then that would completely change the game. And I imagine other comic creators would start suing.
People will start getting all uppity about having fair pay and treatment and benefits and things. Can't have that.
Yeah. Well, I know, which, like, I'm all for comic creators being compensated fairly. Like, I know that the creator of The Winter Soldier, so not the creator of Bucky Barnes, but the guy who actually made Bucky Barnes into The Winter Soldier, which happened years later, he was given a couple $1,000s for Winter Soldier appearing in all these Marvel movies. Like, he was given fucking pennies.
Nice.
For literally creating Winter Soldier, or at least this version of the character that all of us are familiar with. Like, which is really, really fucking shitty when you get right down to it. But
so
at
you gotta
the same
do the George
time,
Lucas thing. Just get paid exclusively in royalties money and nothing else. Just maintain all your royalties rights. And then just make fat bank on your awesome stuff.
Yeah, all about those toys.
That's right.
What are they going to do?
Not make toys? Of course not.
Yeah. You're fucking right. But I don't think that any of that's going to happen. But if it does happen, you bet your ass we'll be talking about it on this show. Because that would be like a huge shift in the entire comics industry.
Paradigm shift.
Yes. which is never, like, Disney's never gonna let that happen. Like, the Mouse's lawyers are going to squash this shit like a fucking bug.
Oh, they're, man.
All they have to do
of,
is...
like, the Mickey Mouse from South Park. Have you ever seen Mickey Mouse in South Park?
yes, I have, yeah.
Yeah, that's just me like, thinking clips of it. Fucking cigar-smoking Mickey Mouse pops into the courtroom. Ha-ha! Oh, I hear you wanted your Marvel characters back. Ha-ha!
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, motherfucker? Like, yeah, it would... Like, they would,
exactly
they will
like
stop this.
Beating them to death with fucking Steve Ditko's severed leg or something.
This is very much an underdog story. Steve Ditko's kids or whatever. It's like, your chances are low, but it'd be cool. It'd be pretty fucking cool.
So, in my heart of hearts, because I respect Steve Ditko as a creator, I really hope his children are not doing this just for the money, but I do believe that they are.
Yeah, no, I fully believe that they just want to bathe in bundles of cash,
right?
And
not
like,
having to work sounds awesome. I would also like to not have to work for a living.
Yeah, exactly. Like that'd be fucking fantastic, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So yeah, I'm sure that
if anybody
just
wants
doing
to
this...
buy the rights to my comic book characters, you let me know.
Do you have comic book characters, Steve?
Of course.
Or are you just gonna make some up? Okay.
All right. Well, I mean, all comic book characters are made up.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, okay. That's
yeah. I've got facts. I've got Cool Guy and Numbnuts, the classic flip book, Cool Guy and Numbnuts that I wrote.
oh god!
I have a fucking College Rule notebook comic book sitting on my shelf up here. I wrote in like the second grade. Pretty good. Pretty good.
Oh man, I just remembered that in I think it was like middle school or some shit. One of my friends came up with he was Justin Time, which his name is Justin.
Oh my god.
And he has the superpower of always arriving exactly when he's supposed to, and his sidekick Justin Case. And he had a magical case.
This is
case.
Definitely ripped off of a Futurama episode or something.
Is
there's
it?
No
That's
chance that he came up
true.
With that. I don't
it
buy
was,
it
yeah,
for a second.
Justin Case, who has a case that like just can manifest whatever you need in any given moment.
Well, that's called Felix the Cat, and he's from like 1932. So, nope, don't believe that. If it helps, though, in my book, me and my buddy were writing it together, and we would occasionally hand it off. So the art style changes dramatically from panel to panel.
I kind of love that, honestly, but. Anyway.
The specific differences was mostly in the guns, because he draws bullets and guns very differently than I. Every gun is a shotgun when he draws it, because it just has like a big bush coming out the end.
Okay, sure.
And he can't draw babies to save his life. Anyway.
Anyway, yes. So we're going to move on now to, what is it, the Magic Hour? Let's see. What the fuck happened last week? I feel like it's digging a hole in the back of my mind. Like, I feel like I remember some shit, but I can't... What? God damn it. I feel like as soon as... If you were to say something, I'd be like, oh yeah, that! But I can't place it. No,
Taseer.
No, never mind. I can't fucking think of it.
All right.
I can't remember.
The year,
I'm off
3600 AR. Argenti and Kusho defect from the Mardaran Empire. Ramses Overdark attempts to retake the islands, but is thwarted by Tetsuo Umezawa. Marhut Eldsdragon leads a major campaign against Argenti and Kusho. Both islands are crushed. Ramses has Eldsdragon killed in his rise to power. Argenti and Kusho are liberated. Ramses Overdark's manor is destroyed by Kolo Mei. Tetsuo Umezawa slays Ramses Overdark and Nicol Bolas.
Okay, so I'm sorry. That guy's name was Tetsu or
Tetsuo Umezawa.
All right, tell me everything. I want to know everything about Tetsuo, mostly because, literally because of whatever that fucking movie is. The one with the red bike, the anime movie that you hate. What is the name of that?
Akira?
Yes, Akira. That's it. Akira. One of the characters in Akira is Tetsuo, and they say that name a lot.
Is.
Tetsuo! Kaneda! Yeah. I want to know about Tetsuo. Tell me all about
it. Okay. Well, Tetsuo is a member of this Madara Empire here, and he is possibly the most powerful human of his era during the Mirage Wars. Yes. So he was a card from a set called Legends, which is a really old set, and he got basically no prominence in the set. He's a garbage card, but he also did kill Nicol Bolas, who is, I remind you, one of the most powerful entities in the entire multiverse. So it's he's kind of a big deal, but nobody knows who he is.
I see. That, you know, that's actually pretty interesting.
Because it happened a long, long time ago.
So Tetsuo killed Nicol Bolas, who is... I don't remember exactly who Nicol Bolas is, other than he's very powerful.
Come on, please remember who Nicol Bolas is.
All I remember is he's evil. And is he a dragon? Is he one
of the dragons? Yes, he is a dragon.
Ha! Hey! There we go! Cool. So he killed Nicol Bolas.
He's probably like the second most prominent magic villain ever.
Okay. And the other one I remember is Urza. I remember Urza. Who's not? I know he's not a villain, but he's an important.
No, it's the Phyrexians.
Phyrexians? What? Oh, that's the other. Whatever.
What do you mean? I've mentioned them 100 times.
I remember the Phyrexians. I do remember thinking something about them.
They're the Borg.
Yeah, that's it. The Borg. Yep, I remember the Phyrexians. The Phyrexians are the Borg. Yep, that's all coming back. Well, it's not all coming back, but some of it's coming back.
Anyway, he's a samurai from a samurai plane that's only about samurai things. So, you know, there you go.
I'm just going to always think of him as the giant fucking flesh monster from Akira.
If that helps you remember.
It does, because he's the most powerful mortal of all time, right? Or not
of
all
his
time.
Time.
Of his
not
era.
All time. Of his time. Of his era, which was fucking... you know, centuries ago, so...
That's fine. Yeah, that's...
His descendant... His line still exists in the modern day, though.
Ah! Go figure. All right. Yeah. Tetsuo! All right, I remember this
fucking
guy.
Sure, and Tetsuo, hopefully.
Okay, so now we're gonna move on to my humble opinion. I think you went first... Actually, you were the only one who went last week.
I did, yes.
So I'm gonna go this time. I'll try to keep this short and sweet. So I have been trying to catch up on Marvel Comics, specifically the modern Marvel Comics. I want to have an idea of what's currently happening, which is a fucking chore and a half, let me tell you. But I have officially finished the King in Black massive crossover. It's like the most recent big crossover, where basically the god of the symbiotes, Null, shows up on Earth almost immediately. Spoilers alert. Spoiler alert here. I'm just going to spoil all of it because I just want to talk about it all. So Null shows up on Earth and almost immediately kills Venom. He just strips the symbiote off of him, and Eddie Brock is just fucking naked and flailing, and Null is standing on the top of the Empire State Building, and he's like, oh, how disappointing. And then he just drops... Eddie Brock off of the Empire State Building. He does not immediately die, but he does get very, very fucked up, and he's whisked away by Spider-Man, and then he dies later.
Sure.
And there's a bunch of other shit that happened too, that because I read all of the tie-in issues, but really none of that's all that important. Really, this is Venom's story, and... first of all, just before I go any further in the actual plot, I really fucking love Null as a villain. I think he's very fucking cool. Almost all of his text bubbles, his text is always small. Like, you know, other characters, you know, like they have, like, they're always screaming or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I really like, they do a really good job of conveying Null as almost, almost always, like, cool as a fucking cucumber. Like, he's just like, oh, how disappointing. And then because he's so far beyond everybody fucking else that he's interacting with. Like, he is the god of the void. He was created in the space, but in the space between the universe that came before and the universe that came after... Null was the god of the nothing in between. And once the Celestials showed up and they started to create the world or the universe again, Null was like, what are you doing interrupting me in my nothing? And then he murdered a Celestial, cut off its fucking head, and that head became nowhere. And then he forged a weapon in the heart of the Celestial, and that became the fucking... his sword, all black, which was also used by fucking Gore the God Butcher, who I'm familiar with because of Thor comics. And then a bunch of shit happened, and he created the symbiotes, and the symbiotes eventually rebelled against him, and they all trapped him inside of themselves, and they created an entire planet, which they called Clintar, which is the symbiote word for prison. And inside of Clintar was fucking Null, and he was in like this forced state of hibernation, thanks to the symbiotes rebelling against him. But then, long story short, Eddie Brock decided to let Null out in order to save his son's life, because Eddie Brock now has his own kid. And then Null enslaved all the symbiotes that were keeping him contained, and he started traveling the universe, killing everything. Eventually, he made his way to Earth, killed Eddie Brock... basically killed Eddie Brock. And then he covered the entire world in symbiote goo, and then symbiote dragons started raining from the sky, literally raining.
All right.
Symbiote dragons started raining from the sky and just started fucking up everybody everywhere. And I can't get into everything that happened at this point because there's a lot. The X-Men are involved and they're sort of important, but not really. And then like there's just a bunch of other shit. What ends up happening is after he dies, Eddie is, his like echo is, left over in the, Venom hive mind, or like the symbiote hive mind. And he decides to try to like, lead a revolt in the hive mind against Null. It doesn't go very well for him. He almost dies immediately. I guess, because he's not actually alive anymore. This is just like, you know, what's left of his consciousness is just inside the mind, the collective hive mind. But then Silver Surfer shows up and breaks through the goo barrier that is surrounding the Earth.
Makes sense, and, yeah.
And he's come with the Power Cosmic, or I guess not just the Power Cosmic, but it's like the Captain Universe power. I don't know a whole lot about Captain Universe.
The Unipower or whatever it's called?
Yeah, the Unipower, whatever the fuck that's called. This is like my first experience of Captain Universe in comics.
Yeah,
so
it's like the living like embodiment of the universe's life or something. It's like the Guardian of the Universe or some shit.
Exactly. And it turns out that this energy source is actually the opposite to Null. It's Null's equal.
Sure.
And it actually is technically a symbiote, but it's not a symbiote in our understanding of the word, because it's like a being of light or whatever, and it's all why about... Not? Anyway, so it possesses Eddie Brock's like dead body, and then it like pulls Eddie Brock's consciousness out of the hive mind, and it's like all right, like, you know, we're gonna go kill Null, let's fucking do it, pick your form. And of course Eddie's like, pick my form, I want to look like myself, I want to be Venom. And so he looks like Venom, except he has, like, instead of just being black, he has, like, little stars sprinkled throughout you know, because he's Captain Universe now. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, what the fuck? Eddie, you were dead. And Eddie is just like, yeah, I was, but I'm not anymore.
Comic books, bitch.
Comic books. And then he, with one hand, he summons Mjolnir from Thor. With the other hand, he summons Silver Surfer's surfboard. Say that five times fast.
All right.
He summons Silver Surfer's surfboard, which can also be like formed into a sword, apparently, which I guess that makes sense.
Whatever, why not?
Whatever. And then he combines the two of them, and he creates this, like, awesome fucking, like, power axe that is, it's like this giant fucking guillotine looking axe, not guillotine, but this axe thing, and the blade looks like the Venom symbol. And then he fucking starts fighting Null with that. That's not going very well for Null at all, but Null keeps regenerating because he, like, is Null. Sure. So, you know, he's just getting his fucking shit rocked, but he's still regenerating. And then fucking, Null summons his, celestial, he has some celestials that he possessed with a symbiote.
Cool.
So he summons one of those, and then, Venom, or I don't know what to call him, Universe Venom?
Univenom.
Let's just... Univenom? Ah, oh, that's good. I like that. Univenom, fucking in one blow, just cuts off the head of the Celestial, of the possessed Celestial, which was just dope as fuck. and then he grabs Null, takes him into the sun, as his classic.
Oh yeah,
fucking.
Man, that
comic
sun
book.
Has got to get so cluttered these days with this shit thrown in there.
It's fucking true, but you know, classic shit. He takes him to the sun, and he like obliterates him with the power of the sun, but also the power of Captain Universe or whatever. And now he has become the new King in Black. The universe, Captain Universe's power leaves him because they're like, yeah, we did what we wanted to do, so we're done here.
Sure.
But now he is the new King in Black, so he is in charge of the collective symbiote hive mind, and which is like very weird and cool to think about for all kinds of reasons. He gives his Venom symbiote, like, you know, his like original Venom symbiote, yep, to his son, because he's now so far beyond, like, he can't just be running around fighting people like he used to do, because like he's now in charge of all the symbiotes everywhere throughout the entire universe. So he's not gonna be, you know, fighting random dudes in the street anymore. But his son will, and his son has, instead of having webs, he has like these like black gooey chains on his fucking wrists, and that's the fucking end.
Neat.
You know, and that's the end of Donny Cates' run on Venom, which I didn't read all of, but I read a good chunk of.
Cool.
And now they're gonna do a full reboot of Venom, and I'm gonna, or not a full reboot, but a new run with a new creator, and I'm gonna be there from day one. I'm gonna read that shit and keep up to date on it, because now I'm fully fucking caught up, and now that I'm fully fucking caught up, I don't want to not be caught up anymore. So
sure.
Yeah, in my opinion, it was a pretty fun event. The middle part got kind of long for me. I think that really was just because I was reading all of the tie-in comics, which I probably didn't need to do, but I felt obligated to do them, so I read all of them. And like many of them weren't important at all. And so it was like, all right, I don't know why I'm still reading this, but I've already dedicated this much time to it. I'm just going to fucking finish this. And I did. And, I liked the main event. I quite enjoyed Venom's part of the story. I liked him dying and being brought back. The Captain Universe thing was really cool. It was just all of the tie-in comics that I was just like, oh my god, like, so much of this doesn't even matter. And they were also weirdly inconsistent. Like, in the Miles Morales tie-in comic, Miles, like, rejected the symbiote from one of the dragons, and then the dragon was just a normal dragon that Miles flew around on. And then in one of the other comics, which I can't remember, I can't remember which one it was specifically. I think it was the Black Knight comic. We find out that the dragons that are attacking everybody aren't actual dragons. They're just symbiotes in the shape of dragons, which directly contradicts what happens in Miles Morales. So maybe some of them were actual dragons and some of them were not. That doesn't really matter. It just bothered me because like I was reading them one right after the other, and it was like, wait, you just told me that these were actual possessed dragons, and now you're telling me that they're symbiotes that just look like dragons. And I just like, can you just keep that consistent? Is that so much to ask? I feel like that's not that hard to ask. Like, are they dragons or not? That's all I want to know. I'm just curious. What the fuck? Anyway.
Cool.
I totally
believe that the Unipower could totally take Mjolnir from Thor on account of it was made by not the universe, just made in it. So he should have unilateral control of that. But I don't think he should be able to control the surfboard, because that was given by Galactus, who is from the previous universe, and all his power cosmic originates from there, so they should be entirely incompatible things.
Yeah, I'm not going to worry about that. I just don't care. I just thought it was cool.
I'm worrying about it then.
That's fine. You can worry about
maybe
it.
The,
I just thought it was
maybe the power
cool.
cosmic was given voluntarily, so perhaps it was, you know, it signed on with the power of this other universe. Like, yeah, let's do it. No big deal. I agree. Let's fight this middle guy.
I think that's probably it. That would be like the rationalization that I would probably come up with, is that it's like it consented, because it was like, yeah, we need to fucking kill this guy. And they did, and it was fucking cool, man. It was very cool. Also, Venom can like summon like wings, which is just I love wings. It was like he just gets big dragon wings and he's flying around with this giant venom shaped axe, and it was just fucking cool. Like like rule of cool, man. It was just fucking neat. It was fun to look at.
I like big spectacle weapon fights. Sure, absolutely.
Exactly. In my humble opinion, King in Black was pretty fun. But like, seriously, if you're curious about it, just like you can skip like a good chunk of the tie-in comics. They're really not that important. Just read the main event and like the Spider-Man stuff, and you're pretty much covered. You don't need Fantastic Four. Doesn't matter. Not important at all. Just don't read that. The Black Knight comic was surprisingly good, so you can read that one. But yeah.
Groovy.
And that's it. So, right. Steve, what do you got for a humble opinion?
So
week?
Mine is sort of a little baby one. I want to follow up to the Deathloop thing that I talked about last week. Do you recall how I said that, man, this is stupid and I'm not having fun, and on account of, like, I'm going to have to figure out all of these things to do and it's going to be so dumb and stupid and long and stupid and bullshit?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well,
that,
the day I said that, I beat it, so.
That's funny. So yeah, you were so close. You just
well,
amazing.
So once you figure it out, it basically all just falls together immediately. It's like, okay, yep, all of these things are really easy to make happen once I know to do them, and I got really good at doing them because I blew it twice. So so the first time I did it, basically the first one, you have to go to this lady, and this is the quick and dirty version of this. So. There's in one playthrough, you have to go to this place and change a signal so it'll invite this lady to the party. And that computer guy thing will retain that message in every loop. It for some reason, because the story needed it to happen, remembers the changes every loop. So it will continue to do that. So once I've set it up, I never have to do it again. So that's taken care of. I have to go to the first lady in the morning. The only chance you get to kill her is right there. So I kill her. Then I fuck with some fireworks. So that some other guy will deal with that later. So I sabotage the fireworks. Then I go to a scientist guy's house and I twiddle some research buttons so that his experiment doesn't work. So he has no reason to go to the party at the end of the day. Then I go to find these two other important guys that are shacking up in secret. And I go to their secret shacking up place. And you can either kill them while they talk to each other, or my favorite way to do it, you can flood the factory they're in and just drown them horribly to death.
Oh my god. Okay.
And then you can watch them screaming and banging on the door as the water rises.
Jesus fucking Christ. I mean, that's amazing.
Well,
that's awesome.
Then you gotta go fast,
fuck,
though, because the water starts to come out, and then it'll come and drown you, too. But it doesn't really matter if you die, because you can, you know, zoop, and you're good to go. Because you get this thing where if you die, you respawn, like, 30 seconds back rather than a whole day back if you die the one time. So you don't lose if you die that time. But whatever. I just ran anyway. I got really tired of waiting for them to die every time. So it's like, okay, here you go. You're dying again. Zoop. And then I ran back. The first time I did this chain of events, I forgot to hit the guy's computer buttons. So he didn't show up to the party, so I couldn't win. So the first time I failed automatically doing that. Second time I did it right. Got to the party. Got really lucky because the only three that are left at the party basically spawned, like, because they have random spawn points. There's the doctor lady that I had to convince to go there with the cycling invitation. There's the scientist guy who I had to convince to go there by sabotaging his research. And there's the asshole guy who's throwing the party. And there's the guy who does the fireworks, but he dies automatically as long as you sabotage the fireworks. So he died off screen. I didn't have to worry about that one. It just shows me, oh, he died. Cool. Great. The first time I did it, though, I never actually did the thing that tells me which guy is the guy I'm supposed to be hunting, because they're all, everybody's in masks, like whatever the hell it's called.
Oh, Masquerade.
Thank you, Masquerade. Yeah, and he's just randomly among the people there. Now, there was a thing you could do, like he was a DJ, and if you do some shenanigans, you can like change the song that plays to his song, and then he goes and makes a fool of himself in the middle of the dance floor or whatever. So I could figure out which one was him, but I took the strategy of, if there's nobody left alive, I will discover him eventually.
That is true.
That's the route I took. So I never actually did find the last clue. I just killed everybody and didn't worry about it so much. which is actually pretty hard, because if you get discovered once, everybody in the party hunts you down, and they're really good at hunting you down, because it's like the last thing in the game. But I got
like
lucky,
boss,
and he
basically
spawned standing next to one of the other guys, so I got to kill both of them right away, which was really handy. Nice. I did it by accident. I just fired wildly, and I just got them both, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. Well, because the one guy that he spawned next to, the one I knew who he was, the computer guy, has an invisibility power. That's his superpower. And all he does is turn invisible, run away, and then snipe at you. And I don't bring any sniping weapons with me, because I like to just stand behind a guy and pop his fucking grapefruit. So I never worry about the snipers. Also, snipers are really weak if you don't get headshots, and I'm not very good at aim because I can't see very well. So I didn't worry about that. I didn't want him to run away, so I just unloaded on him. And the other guy got in the way, and he also died because of my automatic shotgun that I brought. And I was like, okay, cool. That's two down. And then I walked to the next room, and I accidentally ran at the other lady as she was transitioning through a doorway, and I panic grabbed her and just snapped her neck. And I was like, oh, I just won. Cool.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I'm done.
I got all the guys. Okay. And then that lady that chases you showed up, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to worry about her. I'm going to run away. So I ran all the way back to spawn, and I started the next day. And then I remembered that I wasn't supposed to do that. I was supposed to get on the ship that shoots me off the island.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
So I had to do it a second time. Second time didn't go nearly as well, because when I stabbed the guy standing next to the sniper guy, it wasn't the right guy this time. It's just some random guy, so I had to go find that guy later. But I killed the snipey guy, and I walked next door, and now that I knew she was there, I killed the doctor lady. And then after, like, 30 minutes of just intermittently blowing people's heads off, hoping it was the right guy, I did accidentally find him once. And I was like, okay, great. And then that lady showed up again, and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna leave and go to my spaceship thingy. And then she showed up, and I just, you know, blew her head off, because that's what you do when she shows up. And I was like, wait a minute. I was about to get on my ship to go to talk to her, but I just killed her.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought what would happen is that I fucked the game up, because I can no longer go talk to her now that she's already dead. And I was like, so did I win or no? Because nothing was happening. Nobody, like, my guy didn't say anything like, oh, I did it. I killed everybody. It didn't happen. So then I just started the day over again. And hoped that I wouldn't have to kill her the third time. I went through all that bullshit. I accidentally killed her a third time. And I was like, you know what? Let's just get on the ship and see if this works. And it did. She was still waiting for me there, even though I killed her.
She just respawned. It's fine. Don't worry about it. That's hilarious.
But it wouldn't, though, because it was the same day still. She shouldn't have come back. They do occasionally have this thing where there's more than one copy of you running around. Because, like, you do occasionally run into yourself. But, like, I'll be honest, I still don't understand what that's about, because that shouldn't work, because there shouldn't be more than one of me in the day, since everything starts over again. It should still only just be the one me. I really don't understand that, but whatever.
Timey-wimey.
Let's go with that.
Don't think about it too
hard. So, yeah, I get to the finish line here, and she's like, hang on, wait a minute, I'm unarmed, let's just have a talk. And she sits me down in front of a box of dueling pistols, which are, by the way, the same dueling pistols from Dishonored. It's the same model.
That's
same
cool.
model.
That's nice.
And she's like, yep, here's some old guns. So we have two options here. I can either try to convince you to stay, or we can just kill each other, and then the loop ends. And I was like, okay, fascinating. So she tells me to pick up the gun, and she points it at my head, and I point at her head, and she starts counting down. Now, Adam, this lady's been lying to me the entire game.
Yep.
I thought for sure this was a trick. I thought somehow she didn't give me a loaded gun or something. Or something. I didn't know what the trick was, but I was positive there was a trick. So she counted down, and I elected not to shoot her, because I was like, I bet that's what I'm supposed to do. I bet if I try to shoot her, I fail, and she shoots me in the head, and
yeah,
I die.
It's too tempting. It's too obvious.
And I don't want to do this all again a fourth time. But I didn't shoot her. After she counts to three, I didn't pull the trigger, and she didn't pull the trigger. And she says, huh, you really had me go in there. And then the day starts over again, and now we're friends. So I kept the loop going instead of actually winning the game.
I mean, all right. So you beat the game, though.
I did get an ending. Yes, I got the what I consider to be the bad ending, because I would have liked to break the loop. By the way, she's your daughter.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so at the end of the blackout, is like, so what are we going to do today? It's like, oh, you know, get drunk, throw some people in a meat grinder. Same old, same old. It's like, okay, cool. You can call me dad if you want. And she's like, And he's like, okay, yeah, well, no, never mind. Never mind.
Maybe it's a good thing you didn't kill her then. Like, you know, maybe you got the good ending.
No, I'm pretty sure that I was want to get off that island. I mean, I still can, I guess. Even canonically, I still can. Because if I'm just going to keep the loop forever, I still have a chance to just kill her whenever I want. So I like to think this is not the ending, because I could still succeed if I really wanted to, but I don't want to go back and do it again. And one more thing about this, the people here. So they were really going for like a Bioshock's lunatic kind of thing, where everybody was like a crazy monster that needed to die. But like, I don't think a single one of those guys really needed to die. Like the people that make the loop possible or whatever, like the bosses, I don't feel like any of them did anything that wrong.
Like, I mean, considering that you just went around the country murdering everybody, like,
I'm not the good guy, like, by any means, but like,
yeah,
I don't feel like any of those guys did anything like murder worthy. Like, they're assholes. All of them are assholes, but asshole is not murder worthy. Like, they just wanted to come here and, like, well, yeah, I guess. But like, they just wanted to come here and, you know, live their best life. It's basically like Rapture before Rapture went crazy. So I guess there's a chance maybe these people could have gone crazy if they knew they were repeating every day. But like, they've never done anything wrong, really. They just came here to, you know, make a live action video game and or study the effects of time travel and or put on a kick-ass album or whatever. Like, none of those things deserve murder. But it was the only thing that Colt could think of to get off the island was kill everybody. Even if they maybe didn't deserve it. I mean, yeah, they'll all shoot at me, but that's only because the lady told them to. So, it's like, I don't really know who the good guy of this story is, and it feels really weird not to break the loop now, because it's like, that was really just for nothing, huh?
I mean, yeah, basically. I mean, like, you could have just sat down and talked to your daughter from the very beginning and been like, hey, can we just, like, not
I mean, she was killing me a whole lot, but like, well, she kept saying you always come around eventually, so who knows how many fucking times I've like lost his memories and then tried to break the loop and then like come this close, you know, like, we don't know how many times this has happened prior to me doing it, but I kept it going by not killing her. I guess I could just go back and get the real ending if I really wanted to. Like, I've done it enough times now where I'm pretty confident I could breeze through that whole thing, but I just really don't wanna, you know?
Yeah. I think you should at some point. Like, just to see. Or maybe just look it up on YouTube.
I'm gonna lose all the muscle memory and stuff for how to play. Which, by the way, I was doing it wrong the whole time. Like, it's like, there's like the party, right? And my first strategies for going to this party, which is being heavily watched, by the way, was grab one of the deployable turrets, throw it down in front of the building, and then try to sneak around while everybody's getting murdered by it. But people start running down the stairs, and they catch me. And then I tried using invisibility, which, by the way, is the worst power. It doesn't turn you invisible. It just makes you harder to see. And it lasts, like, a second. Like, it's nothing. Fuck? It's no time. It's useless. So then I was like, okay, this is stupid. And then it turns out there's an open window on the side of the building. I can just teleport to the fourth floor with my blink power and just work my way systematically down the hallways, which is way better because all the people I need to kill are usually on the third floor anyway. So basically, pro tip, go all the way to the right of the building with your blink power, the only power you actually need in this stupid game, and just jump right to the top again. Like, it's... Oh, yeah, and pro tip again. Don't invest in any of the powers that aren't the blink one or the linking people one, because you'll never need anything else. You really don't even really need the linking people one, but you can have it if you want it. You only need one power.
All right. I do plan on getting this game, by the way, but I have to wait until I get a PlayStation 5, which I almost got last week.
Or
but I was
buy it on your computer.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do that. That's not gonna happen. Because if I buy it on, if I do that, I won't play it.
If you do that, you'll be able to run it because I guarantee fucking to you, you do not have the appropriate hardware to make this game happen.
Yeah. Okay. So fuck that. I'm not gonna go buy a computer just so I can do this thing. Like, I'm gonna
not just
get
this
PlayStation
thing. All
anyway.
The things going forward.
Yeah. Well. No. Not gonna do that.
That's
at least not yet. Anyway, do you have anything more to say about this game, or are you good?
No, in my humble opinion, that was a perfectly adequate waste of time.
Again. All right. I think that's true of almost everything, Steve.
Nope. Some things are not a good use of your time. This is the appropriate waste of my mortal life on the path to the grave. I was not dissatisfied using it for this.
Hey, that's all. That's great. That's fantastic. Those are the complaints this week. If you can't complain, share it with your friends. Bye!